President Donald Trump and his top military leaders are touting military successes in the war on Iran, saying they can keep it up as long as they choose. This, as fallout from the war continues to spread. Trump spoke to reporters at a ceremony welcoming soccer teams to the White House.
The United States military, together with the wonderful Israeli partners, continues to totally demolish the enemy far ahead of schedule. And at levels that people have never seen before, actually.
He boasted that all of Iran's airplanes are gone, along with their missiles and communications.
Other than that, they're doing quite well. I said, what's left? But they're tough, and they want to fight. And they're calling, they're saying, how do we make a deal? I said, you're being a little bit late. And we want to fight now more than they do.
He said the military actions will increase stability in the region, in stock markets, and everything else, including oil prices. That last one is a big deal politically, since Trump has made low oil and energy prices a key part of his claims to success, and a spike in the oil prices could spell trouble. But Trump offered reassurances, noting his recent decision to offer risk insurance to oil tankers in the Gulf.
Further action to reduce pressure on oil is imminent, and the oil seems to have pretty much stabilized. We had it very low, but I had to take this little detour if it's okay with everybody.
Trump also urged Iranian military and police to lay down their arms.
And now is the time to stand up for the Iranian people and help take back your country. You're going to have a chance after all these years to take back your country. Accept immunity. We'll give you immunity. And we'll be giving you really the right side of history, because that's what it is. So you'll be perfectly safe with total immunity, or you'll face absolutely guaranteed death. And I don't want to see that. They don't want to see it either.
He also touched on other military situations. He praised Venezuela's interim president, Delcy Rodriguez, and he boasted of taking hundreds of millions of barrels of oil to go to, he says, Houston and other places. He also touched briefly on Cuba.
What's happening with Cuba is amazing, and we think that we want to finish this one first, but that will be just a question of time.
Trump's Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth briefed reporters on the progress of the military operation. He spoke at Central Command Headquarters in Tampa, Florida.
If you think you've seen something, just wait.
He described this war as superior to past U.S. wars.
The dumb, politically correct wars of the past were the opposite of what we're doing here. They had vague objectives with restrictive, minimalist rules of engagement. No more. Our authorities, his authorities, CENTCOM's authorities through the president and myself are maxed out. Our capabilities are overwhelming and gathering still, as are those of our Israeli partners. Our munitions are full up, and our will is ironclad.
While the Trump administration frames the war as going great gangbusters, it has created friction with some U.S. allies. Trump has torched Spain for not allowing the use of its airbases for the campaign. The United Kingdom also denied the use of its bases, but after Iran started attacking other Gulf countries, the U.K. allowed the U.S. to use the bases for defensive operations to shoot down drones, but still not for attacks. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer spoke at a news conference in London, saying while the region is in chaos, his focus is calm, level-headed leadership.
And it means having the strength to stand firm by our values and our principles, no matter the pressure to do otherwise. The long-standing British position is that the best way forward for the regime and the world is a negotiated settlement with Iran where they give up their nuclear ambitions. Now, that's why I took the decision that the UK would not join the initial strikes on Iran by the US and Israel. Now, that decision was deliberate. It was in the national interest. And I stand by it.
United Nations officials are also talking about chaos from the war. The head of the World Health Organization, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, says the conflict is causing significant displacement, with 100,000 people leaving Iran and 60,000 displaced in Lebanon. A million more are on the move after evacuation orders. Tedros says 16 countries have been affected by the conflict.
Almost 1,000 deaths have been reported in Iran, 50 in Lebanon, 13 in Israel, and 11 in other Gulf countries. In addition, WHO has verified 13 attacks on healthcare in Iran and one in Lebanon. Under international humanitarian law, healthcare must be protected and not attacked.
WHO's regional director for the Eastern Mediterranean, Dr. Hanan Balkhi, says WHO's Global Health Emergencies Logistics Supply Hub, which is located in Dubai, has been affected.
This disruption is preventing access to $18 million in humanitarian health supplies, while another $8 million in shipments cannot reach the hub. More than 50 emergency supply requests from 25 countries are currently affected. And $6 million in medicines for Gaza and $1.6 million in polio laboratory supplies are also held up.
She says WHO is committed to doing all it can for the people of the region. For example, pre-positioning essential medicines and trauma supplies.
We are coordinating the health response across affected countries, supporting ministries of health and partners to sustain essential services, as well as strengthening disease surveillance and preparing for potential mass casualties and displacement.
And so the war continues on day six, which also happens to be the International Day for Disarmament and Non-Proliferation Awareness. Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.